Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the hottest blog talk show. It's the Barbershop. This is your boy, Deacon Chauncey Odom, and you coming live from Raleigh, North Carolina. I just want to tell everybody hello, good evening. Hope everyone is having a blessed day. This is the day that the Lord has made. I am just so excited. Today we going freestyle with the round table, you know. So I hope we got the people to participate, ask questions, you know. We got some good people that's going to be on the panel. We're going to give it to you. We're not going to sugarcoat nothing. We're going to give you what the Lord said, but we're also going to keep it real. Because here at the Barbershop, we don't judge nobody. We don't, you know, we here to support. We here to love on you. We here to give you some advice. But today, we also going to have a little fun. So like I said, if you got something on your mind dealing with relationship, family, job, you know, anything, but we keep it clean, too. Because, you know, people might be listening, have the kids in the car with them. So, you know, I ask everyone, just keep it clean. And, you know, don't down the women. Women, don't dog the men. You know, we just going to have a good time. But usually for what I do, before we get started, I like to give honor to God who's first in my life. Because without him, I'm nothing. And I thank God for giving me a second chance at life. You know, because without him, like I said, I'm nothing. You know, he's been good to me, even when I'm not been good, haven't been good to myself. But I thank God he has, you know, been in my corner. He has delivered me. I'm back in church. I'm excited about being back at church. I'm excited about the barbershop. I'm excited about my new men's ministry. It's called the Brothers Keepers. That's going to be a part of the barbershop. So, you know, fellas, all over, get ready. Soon we will be doing a brother's night out. The first night we're probably going to go out to eat. You know, like the lady said, we're going to let our hair down. We're going to leave the ladies at home, the wives at home, the kids at home. We're going to leave the job at home. We're going to leave everything at home or wherever we want to leave it at. But when we get together, we're just going to have a good time, you know, just like today. That's why we call it the round table. You know, I want everybody to enjoy themselves. Don't be afraid to say what's on your mind. If you get to the point where you're being vulnerable and just expressing yourself, that's what we want. Because we do it here at the barbershop. And I know I do. And my co-host and my guests, I told them, just be yourself. Today is one of those days we just going to be ourselves and enjoy. You know, if somebody out there's going through, you know, we doing this not for us. We doing it for God and we doing it for everybody else. That's what we go through. That's what our testimony is to help someone else. But before we do that, like I say, I always do, I got to give him honor, and I got to go on the prayer, because after we go on the prayer and read the scripture, it's time to have fun. So everybody, you know, I thank you again. I hope you enjoy the show. If you got comments or questions, we try to keep it to five minutes minimum, because, you know, we have a lot of people that's going to be calling in. Hopefully, we're praying on that. But before we get down to the nitty-gritty, let's go to God. Heavenly Father, we come to you humble so we know how. We're asking you to show yourself in this show today. There's people that's hurting. There's people that's got a lot of stuff that's built up inside and really don't have nowhere to turn to. But today the barbershop has a round table, and we're opening the doors so they can vent, so they can, you know, express themselves or ask questions. God, but we know you're in the midst of this. And we thank you for what you're doing. And we just want this barbershop to just explode. We want to be known all over the world. But we know you're covering everything in your blood. God, bless the ones that are listening to the show today. Bless their finances. Bless their homes. Bless their marriages, their relationship. Whatever you got to do, God, to touch their heart. God, even though I have somebody that's got a broken heart, that's been in a bad relationship, God, we want you to encourage them, use us, that we can touch them, that we can let them know that they're not by themselves. They got friends here at the barbershop. They got people that love them. That's what we do at the barbershop. Like I always said, God loves you, and we do too. And our new motto is God, family, relationship. But God, with that being said, you're the Almighty. We serve you. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, now the scripture that came with God led to me today is Proverbs 27:17, King James Version. Iron sharpens iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. And the NLT, it says iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. And that's what we are here today at the barbershop. We're your friend. You know, we're going to always be your friends. One thing here at the barbershop, you can't stop us from loving you. And, you know, that's what God called us to do, even love our enemies. And that's what we're going to do. So, you know, again, I thank everyone for listening, the one that's listening on the Internet, Facebook. We thank you. So just enjoy. Sit back. You know, ladies, if there's any ladies out there, feel free to call in and ask questions. I have my sister in Christ, Katrina. Let me get her on the air. Is this you, sis?
Hello?
Yeah, here she go. This is my sister, ladies and gentlemen. I want to introduce a couple of people that's with me today that's on the show. First, I want to introduce my sister in Christ, Katrina. She's been a true friend to me from the first time I met her, and it's just like we're brothers and sisters. You know, when I'm going through, I know whatever I go through and talk, you know, need somebody to talk to, it stays with her and vice versa. You know, that's what true friends do. They deal no matter what the situation is. And I'd like to introduce my brother in Christ, Craig Howard, who was out of down in the Peach State, but now he's down in Florida. Ladies and gentlemen, I want y'all to welcome Craig Howard. He's a real good friend of mine. You know, it's rare that you find good friends, but when you do, you hold on to them. You know, if you go through some stuff and arguments or disagreement and you can still be friends, those are friends. Because, you know, money can drive friends away. Something you said to somebody can tear your friendship up. But I'm fortunate to have these two right here that's been in my life for a while. And I thank God for them because, you know, we had our ups and downs together. But the thing is, God still kept us together, and we learned from our mistakes. And I really appreciate them from the bottom of my heart. And they are truly God's children. I mean, they love the Lord like I do. And we just like having fun on the barbershop. So, you know, if you have any questions or you want to vent, you know, fellas, this is what we do, you know. Like we do when we get our hair cut. Excuse me. I'm just excited. Y'all got to excuse me. I'm just excited. Because I feel God is going to move on this show today. Because somebody need a word. Somebody needs some encouragement. Somebody just needs some love. Or somebody just want to just vent. You know, that's what we're here for at the barbershop. So with that being said, Katrina, welcome. My brother Craig, welcome. Before we get started, I want, you know, if y'all have anything to say to the people before we get into it, Trina, say some words, because we might have some young ladies out there. And, you know, just giving them some encouraging words, and then we'll just let God have his way. The same way with you, Craig.
All right.
Whoever want to start first, just go. And like I said, we're just going to have fun here today.
Just encouraging everybody to call in. If you have a pressing question on your heart about a relationship, about, you know, anything dealing with the Lord, just call in and we'll do our best to give the answer, you know, that God will allow us to give. Just encouraging everybody to hang on and, you know, continue, you know what I'm saying, walking in love and in faith, and just trust God.
Yes, I also echo what Sister Katrina said, that this program is for the hungry hearts, the hearts that's already refined and strong as well, because humanity, we have need of one another, if we're born again or not. That's just the way that God set the system, because we are born of God. But it's those that know God, that have his wisdom and controlled by the dear Holy Spirit, God can speak through us a little bit more clearer and more precise, so that he can speak to the hungry hearts, you know. So I want to say that if anybody out there that feel as though that God is not for you, I want to tell you this. If you was not, if you did not have breath in your body, that right there shows that, you know, God has need of you and he wanted you here. So you're not here by mistake.
Amen. Amen. Well, I mean, you know, y'all know me. I'm Deacon Johnson Owen, your boy, like I always say, your boy, your host. You know, I thank God for giving me this platform. It's geared towards men, but, you know, every now and then we do something for the ladies because we want to get their input too, because we got some women that have young men. They raising raising young boys, and we encourage them to call in and listen. You can be a teenager, or that you got a brother, or you got a, you know, your dad. You know, like we say, just feel free to call in and ask questions. You know, I thank God, and the people who don't know me, I've been vulnerable on this show plenty of times. I've cried on this show plenty of times. Katrina can tell you, we done had church on this show. And that's one thing about, because she, both of them has been with me on this for a while. Katrina's been with me the longest. She's seen where we just. Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Hello?
Boy, y'all just ain't gonna believe the devil is mad. He is mad. I just got cut off and cut back on. Lord Jesus. Boy, I told you. It's gonna be exciting. Devil don't want us to say what we got to say. I'm trying to, and I was sitting here, I was screaming. And for somebody to listen to me, I said, can't nobody hear me scream because they don't cut off on me. I apologize, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, that's what happens when you're doing the work for the Lord and the devil don't want you to do it. Simple as that. It ain't nothing but the devil. But I tell him he might as well get away from here right now because we could really have some fun. He just done made me mad because we trying to save souls and help people come to Christ and let people know, like Chris said, God is here. You know,
amen.
You're not alone. You know, so don't feel like you're alone, because God, we leave him, he don't leave us. God, I thank you. Because that won't nothing but the devil that cut me off just like that. But you know what? I'm back. So the ones who were listening, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden we got cut off, from me to you, I apologize. Don't think we a fluke here. We're not. You know, we know that won't nothing but the devil. Because I'm excited about what's going to happen. And, again, I apologize from the bottom of my heart. But like I said, I was talking about me. My testimony is, this past February made 13 years that I've been clean from drugs.
Congratulations.
And
amen.
That's a blessing.
Yes.
You know, because I've been to the point where I've been homeless. Didn't know where I was going to get my next meal at. I'm walking around in the park, staying out all time of night, breaking into my parents' house just to get me some sleep, just to get me something to eat, just to get me a bath. But God kept me in my right mind. You know, I done had some bad relationships, but you know, that's life. But God was still with me. Like I got a powerful testimony. I even had a woman try to kill me.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still here. And I know it's a true calling on my life. I know it is. And I'm just letting everybody know, everybody has a testimony. So if someone that's out there that's listening, even by calling in or on Facebook or however you're listening, and you out there messing with them drugs, believe me, you can be delivered from drugs. I'm a living witness. Like I said, I've been clean for 13 years from marijuana, cocaine, crack. I've done it all. And I'm not ashamed to tell my testimony. Like I told you on the barbershop, I get vulnerable because I know somebody needs a word. Somebody needs to know that they can be delivered, or they got somebody that's been through what they are going through. And, you know, I'm just excited, you know, because that was me. Whoever's out there that's going with drugs, that was me. I've been there. It's not fun. I seen what God set me in the hospital for 4 days straight, laying on my back. I had to call on him and to be delivered from drugs, didn't go to no kind of, no 12-step program. No, I didn't go to no program. I went straight to the source, and I went straight to God. I got on my knees, and I cried out to him. I'm a living witness that I didn't have to go to no rehab. I went straight to him, and I've been clean 13 years. So you can be delivered. You don't have to go to no rehab. If you really want to get off of drugs or get off or be delivered from anything, you can go directly to God, cry out with a sincere heart and mean it, he will do it. He will do it. That's how good he is. We've crucified him several times, but what he do? He's still there with us.
Yes.
He's still there. And my two co-hosts, I know their testimonies. It's God. We are three living witnesses that God can deliver and heal you.
Yes, amen.
We serious about him. I don't want to see nobody fall short, but we all have fallen short. But you still, this is the time you can get up and brush yourself off. Start having a pity party, because God is waiting with his arms open. That's all you got to do is go to him. Go to him with a sincere heart. He'll be there for you through it all. He will be there with you from the beginning to the end, like he did. He knew us before we knew ourselves. He know our end to the. He know our beginning from the end. That's how good he is. I don't know about nobody else, but I know he's been good to me. He's been good to me when I wasn't even good to myself or to nobody else. He are always good to me. So, like I said, y'all, I mean, this is the time you can call in, press 1 if you got any questions, or if you want to vent, or if you just want to say hello. You know, because we're here. We do not judge here at the barbershop. That's not our job. Our job is to give you just to love on you, love you till you can't be loved no more, till you take off running. That's one thing we say here at the barbershop. You can't stop us from loving you. You might not want to talk to us, but you can't stop us from loving you. We got a caller with the last 4 numbers, 2782, 2782. State your name, where you calling from.
Good evening. Good evening. Good evening. Good evening.
If it ain't Jeffro.
That's right. That's right. Deacon Jeffrey Dunston, good friend of my fellow brother Deacon Chauncey Odom. I just hopped on. I was trying to get here earlier, to get on earlier. Had some technical difficulties. But I just wanted to make a statement or make a sidebar to the comment that you made about just knowing that God will forgive you. You know, I think a lot of times we get mixed up who God is. we get mixed up as far as realizing that God is not like us. And I just put it just like that. God is not like us. In other words, we don't forgive like God forgives. If you know
hey,
what I mean.
Say that again. Yeah, you can say that again.
Yeah, we don't forgive like God forgives. You know, you think about things for a minute. A lot of times, and I spoke on this today. I spoke on this morning. You know, if we have a setback, we fall short on something, it seems like it takes forever for the same people that's in the same struggle that we are in. It may not be the exact same, but in some way, form, or fashion, it's the same struggle. But we don't let God show us the way it should. You know, and you think about it, and it's sad to say, yeah, it's sad to say, but in your church family, let's take your church family. And I'm talking about not just my church, your church, somebody, every church. There's always going to be somebody that's just not going to forgive you. Not going to forgive you. And what happens? That detours your brain. That detours your attitude. That detours your drive for wanting to either attend or give input or just be in line with him. Because we think, oh, God's not going to forgive me for it. So I'm going to step back. But see, you got to realize something. He ain't telling you to step back. He's actually telling you to come forth. Come
mm-hmm.
forth. I mean, you already took the first step. Last time I checked, my God tells me, hey, if you knock, the door should be open. In other words, if you put forth the effort, he going to put forth too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how simple can I put that? Seek and ye shall find. Not the door shall be open. I don't know if you're realizing the actual action in that. In other words, you make one action and he's gonna make two. So therefore people need to get out of that mentality. And I say people
mm-hmm.
on both ends. People on both ends. The victims as well as the hearers, you know,
mm-hmm.
if you hear your brother coming short on something, help. I mean, I remember an old song, and I ain't gonna hold nobody long, and I ain't gonna sing the song because I know I'm not a singer. I leave that to my wife. But I heard an old song that if you can't help me, please don't stop. Get out of my way. Don't try to block. I got a race to run, and I'm running by faith. Got a finishing line to see God's face.
Mm.
Oh, excuse me. At the finishing line, I'll see God's face. So, in other words,
I'm glad.
As I'm running my race,
don't mean to cut you off. But
right.
I want, since you were talking about forgiveness, I want Katrina and Brother Craig to give your input on about forgiveness.
Go ahead, Sister Katrina.
Let's see. Well, I had a bout with unforgiveness that I had to go to God and ask him to free me from that. It's when I was married and my ex-husband did the things that he did. I held unforgiveness for so long. I held it was sicknesses in my body. I was going through pain and everything. But once I told the Lord, I said, you know, I had to speak it verbally. Lord, I forgive him and give me a forgiving heart. He did. He freed me from that. And everything that I was going through at the time, it was lifted. So I even told my brother on today, you know, I had to go back and ask the Lord to forgive me for holding unforgiveness again against people who have hurt me, even family members, you know, who have talked about me and things of that nature. It just hinders a lot of things, especially when you're trying to go forth. So once again, I was in that boat, and God, you know, he freed me from that on today, of holding unforgiveness against people. But I don't know, it's kind of hard to, like, you know, put it in words. It's just something that just has to be done. You know, you just have to let the stuff go that people do to you. Just don't hold on to stuff. When somebody hurts you, ask God to remove it. You know what I'm saying? Just, you don't want those things to settle in your heart. You just don't want to be, you know, in that mode of unhappiness or unforgiveness. It's not even worth it. Those people that did those things to you, they have gone on with their lives. They're not even thinking about you anymore, you know. So, therefore, don't hold on to stuff. Just let it go. Lord, I forgive them. Free me from this, Lord. Give me that loving heart against people, even when they come against me. And I'm telling you, God stepped in today, and he made that all right for me today. So I'm hoping that I'm saying something to encourage somebody who has been down this road of being hurt, and then, you know, unforgiveness, even hate sets in. Don't allow yourself to go there. Release it unto God, and I'm telling you, he will deliver you from these things. And I'm telling you, you just live a life of happiness and peace no matter what somebody say to you or somebody do to you. Just give it to God and continue to keep your heart free from these things, and everything will be all right.
Amen.
What I want to say is that forgiveness is, that's a topic we can really talk about, but forgiveness is born out of reconciliation. And reconciliation is the very display of God's love. That's the reason why he sent Jesus. The word reconciliate means to be in a condition of oneness, you know, and it takes forgiveness to do that when somebody is hostile against you. In the body of Christ, a lot of times we'll see something that happens that evicts us, and we unconsciously react just like a news reporter. We always emphasize the negative and say, you know, we are not forgiving. We're going to have a, you know, a clear picture of the whole thing. There's a lot of people in the body of Christ that do walk in forgiveness because they are dominated by the love of God, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If a person is not dominated by the love of God, it's impossible for them to forgive. And then when we forgive, we forgive out of our feelings and not forgiving out of our love for God, and then not mm-hmm. understanding the fact that we wasn't born. Our brain, it's scientifically proven that the brain was not designed to handle fear. You know, they found out that the brain is motivated in housing love. You know, and fear and offense, all of that is something that we learn. And I think one of the things that the body of Christ don't realize, that one of the major things that the devil uses to trap people is offense. And so mm-hmm. if we don't understand how, where offense comes, what we need to do to guard it, do what the scripture says, to guard your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say this last thing here, because this is, I hope that this just opened up discussion that people will talk, that Jesus made a statement. He told Peter, do you love me? Three times, as you know. And Peter said, yes, Lord, you know I do. And then he said, follow me. And so as they was walking, Peter made the statement. He said, what about John? You know, what's going to happen to him? Because, you know, Jesus told Peter how he was going to die. And Jesus made a statement. He said, if John stay here till I come back, or if he don't, that's up to me. What it got to do to you, you follow me. And I think a lot of times that instead of us keeping our eyes on Jesus, when we see an offense that happened or our brother or sister do wrong to somebody else, which is an indirect offense, we stop following Jesus, and then we do like Noah's son did. Instead of, you know, covering his sin, he went and told everybody, my dad naked, you know. So, majoring on the love of God, will keep you free from operating in unforgiveness. Because as Katrina said, unforgiveness will cause sickness and disease in your body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so true. I mean, you know, I was listening to T.D. Jakes when he was talking about forgiveness. People fail to realize when you don't forgive that person, that person has total power. Like Katrina said, that person has power over you. It's controlling you. Because like Katrina said, they gone on about their business. They know what they did, but you still holding on. And if you really want to look at it, if you keep holding grudges and don't forgive, like I always tell people, a closed mouth don't get fed. Simple as that. If you don't release that and give it to God, then you're in a world of trouble. Because, you know, just like I told Katrina, I listened to that, and that stayed in my mind. You know, and I said, you know what, God, everyone that hurt me all the way down to church folks, the church, I forgive them.
Mm-hmm.
I forgive them. I'm not going to sit here and let nobody have control of me while they out ripping and running, lollygagging, having a good time. I'm sitting here being miserable and still upset about what happened. Why not just let it go and be happy and let God start blessing you? Because that sermon blessed my heart. It blessed my spirit. I was like, you know what? I'm done. I'm through. I ain't going to hold no more grudges. I'm going to forgive. Somebody hurt me or say something, I forgive you. Go on about my business.
That's right.
Simple as that. You know, some people hold it too long. And, you know, you get, like you said, you get to hurting, get to messing your insides or get to hurting you more than anything. But they gone on about their business. You know, but that's life. You know, you can't, you know, like I tell you about pity parties. I ain't trying to have no pity party with life. I want to live happy. Yeah. That's what God said for us to do. He wants us to live happy, enjoy the things that he created. Why sit and be miserable? You know, why? I want to enjoy life. Why? Because people today are leaving here quick, fast, and in a hurry.
What's tonight?
You know, just like that dude who killed that old man coming from the store, because he mad with that girl that made him mad. He go kill the old man, then tell the old man to say her name, and then you shoot him.
Yeah, awful.
Come on, Go ahead, Craig.
I think one of the things that you know, the devil is subtle, so he'll do something and he'll mask something, you know, and if you don't get to the root of the issues, he'll dominate us. I don't care how much we confess the scriptures. If we do not understand what is going on, you know, we're going to be held captive, you know, because that's one of the things Jesus said, that while you are hearing the word, Satan comes immediately to snatch the word. Why? Because you don't understand what you are hearing. One of the things that hold people in unforgiveness is because they were offended, and the offense deals with something that was done unjust. Well, you know, she slapped me in my face. That is true. That hurt. And you say, well, because she slapped me in my face in front of all of my boys, hey, man, this is a principal thing. I'm going to get back at her. That is where the bondage begins, because of the pain that you was dealt an unjust blow.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
wow, this is good to me.
People
go
forget.
Ahead, yeah.
People tend to forget and think they really forget this. You know, I don't forgive you for you. Don't get me wrong. I don't forgive you for you. I forgive you for me.
Mm-hmm.
I forgive you for me, because I can't I can't carry on. I can't carry on if I don't forgive you for myself. Because just like you said, I don't want you to have that kind of control over me. because
that's right.
the only person I won't have control over me is Jesus. I want God to have control over me. And God gives me that control to say, I forgive. I might say I forgive you, but I forgive you for me. So that helps me go to my next step. But I think the thing about the whole, to put it in a nutshell, if I may say, you know, that's one thing I think people have a problem with in the body of Christ. We have a problem with, it's almost like, even though we know who God is, we know what is right and what's wrong, and we know that living this life trying to do right and trying to do right by God, we know that there are times that we're not going to see the way. We don't see the way, because if He's guiding your life, you got to understand something. Realize we're like a ship without a sail. In other words, we follow Him. We follow Him. What He said, do. We're the sheep. He's the shepherd. So you think about it. That's just like taking yourself and putting a blindfold over your eyes and telling you, walk, but yet understand this. You're going to be moved to the left, to the right, turn straight, and told to walk. We got problems with that trust, that trust factor. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's the trust factor in there. And honestly and truthfully, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say that at times I may fall short myself in that same category. I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm perfect. I'm not going to sit here and say I'm perfect. Yeah, I've had some hills to climb, and I'm still climbing some hills. but what I'm telling you is that we in the Christian realm, we have that problem with having those blinders on and just trusting that God is going to guide us. Because if you think about it, no one can tell me, and if somebody tells me, please tell me, are you going to allow somebody to put a blinder on your eyes and tell you to keep walking and you can't see the way yourself? You can't visually see the way? That's going to give you a little bit of a sense of fear. And when you get that sense of fear, you have to understand and trust and know, hold on, I'm not doing this on my own. I'm being guided. My God has guided me along this way. So just like when you have to go and speak a word or you have to go witness to somebody in an area that you might feel like, hold on, I got no business in this area right here. I'm scared to be in this area right here. But guess what? You got to understand that's part of the ministry. But when you say the hedges, going in the hedges, there's some briars in the hedges. You show me some hedges that ain't got no briars in it, and I'm gonna tell you that you ain't in the hedges. You ain't in the hedges because some hedges got some briars in it.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to be able to walk through and say, you know what, I might be in here, but I'm still being guided, still being guided.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I mean, because as Christians, as we go out and we speak God, you know, speak God's word, it's going to be some times that, you know, like I've been told, if you've never been on drugs and never know the effects of it, how can you witness to someone who's a drug addict? You know, Because it's going to be some, like you said, it's going to be some places as Christian, as a woman of God, as men of God, it's going to be some places that we're going to have to go. And sometimes we just might have to take off and get to where they at. Because, you know, if you come to straight with somebody just beating them across the head with the word, you know, some people don't want that. They just want you to show that they can trust you. You know, just like you were talking about the trust issue. They want to make sure they can trust you. And sometimes we just going to have to, you know, if we going to say you going into the hood, somebody who ain't never been in the hood, you know, uppity, suburban, you know, as kids, they always was in the suburbs. Now they in the church, and they talking about going to the projects and witness. Like you said, somebody going to be scared.
Ooh-wee.
They're going to be, I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. But, you know, that's one thing about it. You know, that's some places that we're going to have to go that it's going to take God to help us.
That's right.
Sometimes we're going to have to come down to their level, you know, and don't
that's
make
right.
them feel bad because they already know what they're doing is wrong. So, you know, as church folks, that's what some of us do. They go and beat them across the head with the word. They already know what they're doing is wrong.
Yes.
Some people that's still out there, someone probably just want you to say, I'm here for you, or how you doing? And that's opening up the gate for them to tell you, well, you know, I'm just to the point now, I'm tired of doing drugs. I'm tired of being homeless. I want out. Then that's when you come telling them who God is. Especially if you've been out there, like I said, I've been clean 13 years. So you telling me to go out there to the hood, the people that's still strung out on drugs, I ain't got no problem going to talk to them.
That's right. Because
I know how it feels.
That's right.
I know how it feels. I done been there. I done been out there on the corner all times of night, knowing I'm supposed to be at home in the bed sleep. So I know
that's
how
right.
they feel. Some of them just to the point, you know, I got to the point where that's what their body, they can't take it. Their body got to always have it. You know, I've seen some when they get withdrawal, oh, that's a wrap. I've seen it all. I've seen it face to face with men and women who get so high. You know, I used to pick at people, you know, that was like calling crackheads and all that, until a friend of mine went to the rehab. And before we could visit whoever we was coming to see, we had to take a class. And that's one thing the lady told us, that's truly a sickness. It's an illness. And I had to sit there, huh, and really pay attention to what she was saying. If you really look at it, it is. Some people, just like alcohol, I know a man right there drank so much. He used to come to work, ain't had no drink, but he done drank so much, the alcohol is in his pores. That's how it is with people out there on drugs. They've been gone. They so far out there. But like I said, they still can be delivered if they want to. But the devil done got them to the point where you can't be delivered. You so far gone, stay on out here with me. But then we got church folk that's beating them up instead of helping them. They feel like if they in church and they can't help me, who's going to help me? I might as well stay where I'm at. The devil is a lie. It's mind over matter. Don't let no, if you out there listening, don't listen to that devil and that mess. You can be delivered. You can be set from them drugs and alcohol. Believe me, I know. I'm 13 years clean and I'm happy. Don't miss it at all. So somebody tell me, come on, Chance, let's go to the hood and talk to these folks. I'm going.
Bro,
go ahead, Joe. Yeah.
I gotta give a slight confession tonight. I'm gonna put a little slight confession out there, and I just wanna state I guess you say a confession of my attitude. I guess you say you spoke a statement earlier about the shooting that happened this week, and well, I know pretty much the country knows about it and seen it. you know, with the elderly gentleman, with the guy. Well, I just got to make a confession, and it's just my attitude that when I heard the reaction from, I think it was his son or his grandson, he was being interviewed on the TV, and he said that he forgave the man for shooting his granddaddy. Well, I'm going to be honest about this. I'm going to be honest about it, and I can just say I know construction, okay? I'm just going to put that out there. I know I'm still under construction, but to be honest, my heart is heavy on both ends of that bracket, but I'm just going to be honest. I can't sit here and say right now that I could have had an attitude of total forgiveness for that gentleman for shooting my grandfather or my father right at that moment. I mean, right at that moment now. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, that guy was interviewed probably maybe, I say, no less than 48 hours after he seen that news, or he heard word of his grandfather or father being shot, mercifully like that. And to be honest, like I said, I can't say that I could have sat there and honestly said and been truthful in my heart to say, I forgive that guy right then. So if anybody wanna chime in on that, I'm just saying that's just my personal opinion. If I'm not mistaken, we at the barbershop, we can talk about it.
Go ahead, Craig.
When I seen it, what I did, my emotions was affected because, you know, I'm a humanitarian. I put myself in that place. But what I did, I guarded my heart, and I forgave. I would not allow, you know, because, see, we have control, like Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. We have control. And, you know, to make the excuse say, you know, that God is working on me, this and that and so on. So we've been given the command to love as being a Christian, and Jesus being Lord. And being Lord, that means we live his way, even when my feelings say to do it another way. And that's really when we are really honoring Jesus as our Lord. And then we forget about the Holy Spirit. He's supposed to be controlled in our lives. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are told if we walk in the Spirit, we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Anger, unforgiveness, get back resentment, that's all the work of the flesh that pulls on us 24/7. That's why we need the help of the Holy Ghost. But what I did, I had to learn over almost 30 years being in the Lord, that if I don't make a decision to constantly do it God's way and yield to the Holy Spirit, I will fall prey to the things that's happening on this earth. Jesus himself said this here. He said the time is going to come that it's going to be so much that's happening in this world. He said a couple of things. He said, number one, there will be people that will have heart attacks because of the fear that sees them. Then he said it's going to be a larger amount of Christians that they're going to have unforgiveness in their hearts because of the wickedness that's going on in the world, and their love that I put in their heart is going to wax cold. So we're going to have to really guard ourselves and really penetrate the things of God, the word of God, and make sure we have a direct, personal, unending relationship with the Holy Ghost, because he was given to us to lead us into all truth, to guard our hearts, to empower us, to pour out the love of God in us, to give us the wisdom. A lot of believers, they don't even know of the ministry of the Holy Spirit and how important he is in our life. He is Jesus' representative, you know. So it was quick for me to forgive what happened, because I knew that the guy that did what he did, he got offended. He was rejected. He didn't know how to do it. The God of this world blinded his mind. So by me understanding that, the scripture says God is slow to anger because he's a great understanding. So the more understanding we have about what's going on in this world, the less we will get it unforgiveness.
My thing is,
at least you were honest about it. I'm gonna go with what you said. I know how it feels, cause when my baby brother was murdered in New York, the first thing I had said, if I ever see this guy, first is why? And then I would tell him right there in his face that I forgive you. Because that would hurt him more than anything in the world. You look him right dead in his face, just like when that young white boy went to South Carolina and he was sitting in that Bible study.
Yes.
And when they went to court, that whole congregation looked him in his face and told them right then and there that they forgive him. I guarantee that hurt him more than anything in the world to sit there and those people sit right there in his face. We forgive you. Because what the world was looking for is the church folk to start acting up. We don't forgive him, hurt him, do what he did to the people in the church. But that's when the church stood up and showed the world, uh-uh, there's some good churches out here. There's some good people that's in church, like Craig said.
Yes.
Do walk
yes.
around here with forgiveness. That church showed it.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, like we said, we don't judge, but it takes a strong person to come out and admit that's how they feel. Some people sit here and sugarcoat it, knowing, you know, come on, at the barbershop, we tell you real easy. We keep it 100. That's why I respect
right.
you, because you was honest and said, look, y'all, this is who I am. I'm sorry, but I couldn't do it. We understand.
I mean,
but
don't get me wrong. What I'm saying is that, don't get me wrong, I'm 100% sure that the forgiveness for this gentleman, it is coming into my heart, because don't get me wrong, the more I think about it, yeah, he's a disturbed gentleman. He let the devil ride in a situation that he shouldn't have let the devil ride in. And believe me, I'm totally understanding of that. But what I'm just saying is that my first emotions took me for a minute, you know? My first
mm-hmm.
emotions took me for a minute. And I'm sorry, but that carnal part of me, it kind of, you know, it kind of got me a little bit rattled, you know? So,
mm-hmm.
but don't get me wrong. I do, you know, I do understand that forgiveness has to come. I'm totally opening the door for the forgiveness.
Well, that's good. I mean, like I said, all I was saying, it takes a real person, a strong person to say that, because the average person not going to tell you, you know what, but you were honest. Being a Christian, you was honest. I'm not there yet. And if anybody can come to you knowing they walking the walk and they tell you, well, I'm not there yet. I'm not where I need to be. There's some things I still need to work on with. It takes a real person to admit, okay, I can't do it. I'm not there yet.
That's right.
You know, it's just like when somebody going through something, they can tell you, you know what, say for instance, a man and a woman in a relationship, and the woman has dogged this man out, and next thing you know, I was a witness to this, I seen my boy cry. Seen him cry. I ain't judge him. I ain't throw him. Man, you better wipe them tears away from your face. You a grown man. You sit here crying. Don't be crying around me. What I did, I embraced it. Because it takes a real man to come out. There's one thing about it. Well, us men, when we get together, we want to have that macho walk around with the Superman cape on. But it takes a man to come out. It takes a real being to say that I'm hurt. I'm here. I ain't going nowhere, y'all. Hold on. I ain't going nowhere. But it takes a real man to admit when things hurt. Just like with a woman. You know, you got some women the same way. Girl, you better wipe them tears off your face. Find you somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, hey.
I don't want to make it. I hope that you know, Jeff, that you didn't take what I was saying as if that I didn't identify with you at all. You know, that's what brothers keepers do. That's what you do when you're at a gym and people coming from the first time and they working out, they want to lose weight. They won't have to admit first, hey, I got to lose weight. They might be starting out working out and they say, well, I just can't do it. Then people that are around, you know, because at the end of the day, by us being Christian, we're supposed to be open like that. And then we're supposed to say, hey, look, this is what you can do so that you can practice not to do that. So it's two sides, because it's about us growing up and getting this thing right. So we have to be open where we at, and also to take advice from those that have found out God's way of doing it, and then we just practice that. I got a 4-year-old daughter, and I'm practicing right now because, you know, I'm tall and she's 4 and she's getting tall. And the first thought came to me by being a man and being in this world and not being born again and, you know, falling my flesh. And any woman that I see that was to my liking, you know, physically, that, you know, I got to have sex with her, or, you know, it stimulated my body. So I know that there's predators out there. So I'm practicing now to guard my heart, do what's necessary, so that if things happen, I didn't already prepare myself for how I'm going to respond, just like the people in the Navy SEALs. That's what the Word of God do, no matter what it is. And I want to say to you, Brother Jeff, if you know you ain't there, man, listen, I give you my home phone number. I can show you where I didn't practice and get some results from God's Word. That we got to practice it, because these life problems are going to come, and being honest right. about it, and but we are not getting no resolve about it, man. That is really defeating, really coming out. It's just like somebody being an alcoholic and saying, "Well, I confess that I'm an alcoholic, but I don't want to get delivered from being an alcoholic." Would you open up your mouth and say that you alcoholic when you don't want me to do nothing to try to, you know, get out of it? So by us being
that's
brother
right.
keeper, that's what I'm saying to you. Yeah, hey, I feel where you're coming from, but hey, here are some things we need to do, because, Brother Jeff, everybody that's connected to you is going to be influenced by you.
That's right.
By your response, by your actions. So
when
we have issues like this, we got to learn, hey, what do I need to do so this thing won't happen again, so I can prepare myself, because it's going to come again. It's coming around the mountain again, you know.
Oh, yeah. No,
we got a call on, and we got like 30 minutes left. I want to get this call in. It seems like more people want to call in and get into this conversation. I told you the guy was going to show himself. Call it with your number 5077-5077. State your name, where you're calling from. You live on the hottest block talk show, The Barbershop.
Hello, hello. Hello, everybody.
Roll.
What's going on? How's everybody?
Well, we doing good.
Well, that's good. That's good. I hear you have Sister Katrina back on the air.
Yeah, you know I had to go get our road dog.
Hello, how you doing? Good to hear your voice.
Doing great. How about you?
Oh, blessed and highly favored.
Amen.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was sitting back listening, you know, to everybody and what they was talking about, you know, dealing with forgiveness. And first of all, I want to tell you what the Bible says about forgiveness. Forgiveness is the act of forgiving the pardon of an offender by which he is considered and treated as not guilty. The forgiveness of enemies is a Christian's duty. Now, I was sitting back listening, and you were talking about church folks. See, that's the difference between church folks and Christians. See, church folks gonna do anything. And church folks will say anything. They'll say they forgive you, but they really don't forgive you. Because as Christ forgave us our sins when we repented, he threw it into the sea of forgiveness, and he never brought it back up again. See, as church folks, the key word is church folks, when we say we forgive somebody, we're just saying it. Do we really forgive them? Because when you really forgive an individual, you never bring it back up again, as well as Christ did. Christ never bring things back up that we done and throw in our face. So when it come down to forgiveness for church folks, sinner people, now, if you don't forgive me, if you really don't forgive me from your heart, just don't even say you forgive me, because all you're doing is really just telling a lie. So if you're not to that point where you can forgive somebody, then don't even try to put it out your lips, because all you're doing is telling a lie. And that's what the devil wants us to do. He wants to make us out of a liar. So if it ain't in your heart to forgive, then you need to seek God and seek God wholeheartedly, deny yourself so that Christ can come into your life, into your heart, and heal your heart so he can teach you what true forgiveness really is. Because that's a hard process. That's not something easy to do. I went through it. I'm telling you now, I went through it dealing with close family. It was the hardest thing for me to understand how to let that go, so that God can teach me how to release it. See, once I released it, then my burden, the load came light. Then he gave me understanding and wisdom on why I had to do it. It wasn't for them, it was for me. Because a lot of that stuff into you and eat into you, it'll cause all types of, chemically unbalanced in your body, have you doing things and saying things, and it really keeps your mind into the corner part where the devil come in and put thoughts and different things into your mind, and having you doing things that you normally wouldn't do or saying things you normally wouldn't say. So it's very important that you got to see Christ so that he can deal with you on how to totally release that, because that's a disease. That's poison that seeps into your body, and it's really killing you off, because That's one of Christ's commandments that he created before he was sent to the cross. He said for us to love one another. How you going to love one another if you got an ought against your brethren that you can't go to them and talk it out and work it out so that you can release it and let it go? Because a lot of these issues that we go through are some simple stuff, something that could have been worked out. And then if you think about it, some folks can't even remember what it was really all about. Man, what were we really arguing about? But he said, you said this, or she said, you said that. And then it comes a misunderstanding. So then you around here wasting valuable time being mad at each other when you could all come together and live happily and use your time wisely. But you around here mad at somebody and really don't even know why you're mad at them. Well, you know, that's just good. You know, that's what the devil does. He out to kill, steal, and destroy your happiness. He don't want you to love one another.
That's right.
That's Christ's commandment. He don't want us to love one another. He wants for there to be a division. The Bible said a house divided among itself will not stand.
That's right.
That's what the word says. So anytime somebody try to come together and try to come together on a positive note, the devil's there busy trying to break up that relationship. Yes. No matter whether it's a friendship relationship, no matter what it is, a relationship is a relationship. So he wants us to fight with one another. He wants us to bicker with one another. But we can't let the devil continue to steal our joy over something as petty as whatever it is. No matter what it is, you got the mind of Christ, and you have Christ in you and in your heart, you're going to have to forgive. You're going to have to. You're led by Christ. He's going to teach you the way. He's going to do those things. And that let you know when somebody come against you, that let you know if you call yourself a Christian, and I mean Christian when I say Christian, that means you led by Christ, you Christ-led, and you Christ-fed. So when you a Christian, those things come upon you, are you going to step out and do what self would do, or are you going to let the Spirit lead you on how to handle that situation? So then you at a crossroad. So then, therefore, Lord have mercy. What you going to have to do is evaluate your relationship with the Father. Oh my God, then you know you ain't where you need to be in Christ. Yeah. So it's like a test, like an exam. When things come about that's out of your control, it's all about how you handle it. Either you step back and say, Lord, have your way. What is your will? order my footsteps. When you do these things and you led by Christ, then Christ, he'll help you through this situation. He'll teach you how to handle a situation. And not only that, he gives you the wisdom on why it happened and how it happened. So because we think one-sided, because we think about handling a situation according to the way we want to handle it and think that's how it's supposed to be done, but no, it's not. If that individual come to you and cursing you out or want to fight or whatever the case may be, instead of you quick to get defensive and quick to want to judge and want to fight, you need to step back and think, because God in you, so hold up now, something going on with that man or that woman.
That's right.
What did they go through before they came to you? You don't know what they went through before they got on that job or got to wherever they were. You don't know the hell that they've been through, so they don't know how to channel their anger, so they end up taking it out on you, and you know you ain't done nothing to them. So we got to have the mind of Christ. We got to have that agape love, that everlasting love that Jesus had for us, that forgiving love, to be able to understand what really going on with our brother, since we're going to call ourselves our brother's keeper.
Amen. Mr. Jerome?
Yes.
Yes, sir. I don't mean to cut you off, sir. I just do want to get this statement to my brother that I was just speaking with. I forgot. You have to forgive me. I'm kind of bad with names. I was speaking with earlier. I just want to let you know, understand something about myself. I'm not I made my statement that I meant earlier, and I'm not going to take away from my statement, but what I'm saying is that I've learned throughout my latter years here, I'm starting to learn more to be more transparent myself and understand. I look at it like this: when I was on a team of drug dealers, pimps, prostitutes, whores, and just the total ungodly side of life. You know, once I came onto the team of following Christ, I've learned through a lot of great peers of mine, as well as a lot of great family, that I need to be more transparent to say, you know, unfortunately, That was my instant thought. Not saying that that forgiveness would never come, or I wouldn't have that forgiveness. Don't get me wrong. Like I said, I understand when people are disturbed or people have a wavering mind, their mind can lead them to doing anything. I understand that. But what I'm saying, being transparent myself, to say, hey, this is just when I first caught the initial blow. And we have to realize that, unfortunately, and I'm not saying everybody's like that, I'm just saying, I know that's just like saying, bottom line, if you touch something that's hot, it ain't going to take you too long to know that what you touched was hot. And you're going to draw your hand back. It's
look,
the same
everything
type
is
of
a
reaction.
Process. It's a process.
Correct.
I mean, we don't. You can't go. You're not going to. If you're not in the position to understand what it takes to forgive, that's something you got to grow into. See, that's just,
correct,
just like
correct.
Coming into Christ and accepting Christ into your life. It's a process. You don't expect
correct.
Somebody to get it right off the bat. That's something you got to grow into. So I understand where you're coming from and what you're saying, and that's very well appreciated for what you're saying, for owning up to that. Nobody's condoning you for that, because that's
a
process.
That.
That's something you got to get to and you got to grow into, and it's all right. It's all right. It's okay.
I received what you were saying,
okay,
my dear
okay.
brother.
Thank
and
and
the thing about it that, you know, our transparency in a format like this, when we talk, is always going to stir people, giving their observation, just like the dear minister that I cut off, that he was talking. So even when you are transparent, don't take what someone says that you stirred up by your transparency to open up a conversation
oh,
that
yeah.
we're having Don't take it personally as if that somebody's going against you or this and that. That when you have stuff like that, it's like being in a barbershop. So somebody says something, and then it stirs up somebody else, and they give their opinion about this and so on and so. So no, man, I didn't take nothing that you said as far as you was wrong or was I correcting you. No, I was just giving my observation of, you know. So yeah, your transparency is absolutely acceptable. You're an honorable man, and I appreciate that.
Okay. I just wanted to kind of make sure that, you know, that I
you good, man.
Let it be
you
known.
Good.
By
you
me.
Good.
Let it make clear. I want to make clear. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. All right. Okay. You don't have to do that. You can be yourself without fear that somebody's going. If their response is like they putting you down. Man, that's what the barbershop is about, man. You just be yourself, and somebody accept what you're saying or not. You know.
That's what we do here, man. That's what we do here, Jeff. When you hang around us a little while longer, you understand what we're saying. I got much respect for you.
Too.
You, like Jerome said, you owned up to it. I mean, it's a process. You know, you getting the feel of the barbershop how it really feel when we get wound up. It don't take much for us to get wound up in the barbershop. So, I mean, hey, just be yourself. I ain't asking you to be nothing that you don't want to
be yourself, brother. Yeah.
Everybody up here has been their self up here. And I knew when Jerome got up here, it don't take long for that firecracker to get started. He'd be ready to preach, and I just shut back and let Lord have his way.
That's how
we do it, the barbershop. We make the barbershop to the point where you want to come back next, so I want to see what they got coming, because today they off the chain.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
you know
right.
What?
I want to make a comment.
When brother man opened up his mouth, he said, "Look, now there's a difference between church folks and Christians." I said, "Oh, there he go. Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah. I already know how wrong
it
is.
Yes,
I know.
Go ahead. That was good. I wish, you know what?
Yes,
almost a little jealous because I wish I would have said that in my opening statement. How come I missed that?"
I mean, you know, that's why I said, man, that's what I like doing the barbershop. When we get people like this up here, you know, we can talk and conversate, you know, and we can keep it real. And it's all about being transparent, being vulnerable to the Holy Spirit, let God have his way. You know, like I said, me, Jerome, and Trina, like I said earlier, we got one Sunday, we got down to the nitty-gritty, and we had church. We let God have his way. You know, we have fun here. Today is the day, one of the days we just having fun, but we still real about it. But we still laughing and enjoying it. You know, and that's what it's all about.
Yes.
You know, we got like 15 minutes. We still got 15 minutes. So, I mean, anything else somebody dropped
when
something,
I was
we already
in,
got
when I was
out the way.
Yeah, when I was in prison, you know, I did 20 years. When I was in prison, I was a drug dealer. I mean, I ran... You know, I ran up I-10 and on buses with pounds of weed, kilo cocaine. And, you know, I was addicted to marijuana to a point that I said this here, man, I'm going to die smoking weed. God power was stronger than my lie, you know, delivered from that. But when I did time in prison, you know, because I had a nickel bag of weed, they took me to a drug program where it's nothing but inmates, and you had counselors and things of that nature there. And man, listen, you had guys off the street. They had nothing to do with Jesus, you know, and it wasn't based on that. But you had guys in there that 30 guys every 5 days a week, we had to explain how we feel, what kind of emotions that we had. And then we begin to start talking about things that was happening. You know, when we was young, guys were sexually abused when they was young and how they was rejected and all of these things happened. You had a whole lot of different personalities and a whole lot of different seemingly heated conversation. But in that conversating with each other and opening up, healing was taking place. Man, healing was taking place. Guys were seeing that no matter what side of the street they came from, we all share a common narrative of being affected by the same thing, but in different degrees. So that's the same thing with the barbershop, man. When we say same, man, it's all about the opening scripture. Iron sharpens iron. So does
that's
the countenance of a man's friend. And some people going to give their observation, you know, especially now if it's done out of love. Everybody, we gonna jump on that real quick. But when it's done out of love and our experience and
right.
a level of maturity, man, that's how we grow, bro. That's how we grow. That's how we grow, you know. Come on, Brother Jerome. Come
Trina,
on.
You might have quiet, Trina.
Oh,
yes,
I wanted
Trina,
to
up?
Say that when we were talking about the forgiving part, I wanted to say the person that hurt me the most and I knew I was truly free from unforgiveness was when I was able to go to that person in love and compassion and was able to talk to them and deal with them and not the subject not even coming back up. So that's one way of knowing that you have truly forgiven that person when you're able to go to that person and y'all can sit down and y'all can have a conversation and none of that old stuff ever came back up again. And
Amen.
With the type of person that I am, I would feed that person if they came to me and they was hungry. I would not turn them away. So that's how I know that God has done a mighty work in me to free me from that unforgiveness.
Amen.
Yeah, I had to forgive my mother. You know, I forgave my mom.
I wanted to ask something of all the gentlemen, if you would allow me to do this on the show. You know, the situation with Frank and everything that's going on. If I could ask all the brothers here to keep my friend Frank McCant lifted because he's going through drug addiction and he's running and he's still in the hospital with kidney issues and stuff. If I could ask each and every one of you all to keep him lifted, I would truly appreciate it because he really needs for God to do a miraculous work in his life.
What's his name?
We got you.
His name is Frank McCant.
Frank who?
McCant.
Okay, Father, in the name of Jesus, since this was spoken, we're gonna take care of this right now. Your word declared that whatever we bind on earth must be what's bound in heaven. Jesus has already dealt with the drug addiction. He dealt with sickness and disease. By his stripes, we are healed and we are delivered. Father, we're asking you to cause your love to dominate him so much that he will see how much you love him and present the gospel to him through the power of the Holy Ghost, whoever you want to use, Father. If you want to talk to him in dreams, visions, or whatever, to get the message across to him that you're not holding anything against him. And, Father, be good to him because your goodness leads people to repentance. And we believe for his deliverance now because Jesus
right
said
now.
That two of us shall agree on earth as touching anything.
Yes.
It shall be done. So we want to agree that your power is going to cause
right
him
now,
to be delivered from drug and drug addiction in the next 30 days in
Jesus'
name.
In Jesus'
name.
Amen.
And we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord.
Amen.
We thank you, Lord Jesus.
If I may speak without interruption, I
want
y'all to when I get up here, I flow in the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit don't need to be shut off. Now, I want y'all to understand that now because the barbershop is what the Holy Spirit is what needs to flow to give the people what they need from God. And it does
right.
not need to be controlled or shut off. So for what I want to say, dealing with the sister, with what she said, I want to give her something what the Lord said, give. Now, what's going on with this young man, because he's running from Christ. See, I'm going to give it to you like this. See, you know, the word speaks that it's worse to know the word, not be doers of the word, than not know the word, not be doers. See, this young man know the word, and he's running from his calling. So God had to put him flat on his back. Sometimes he got to do that in order to get our attention. See, while he's laying flat on his back, God is dealing with him. See, God had already done the work. We can pray.
Mm-hmm.
We can pray the word of faith. We can do these things, and that's good. But God already know because he's already done everything and left everything in the earth. He never leaves us or forsake us. So he know exactly what this young man going through and why he going through him because he allowed him to go through him and get into the position so that he can deal with him. Now, God's going to raise him up, and he's going to be the man that he needs to be for Christ. to be able to go out here and witness and be a, and give his testimony for what Jesus has done for him in his life. But God has him in a position right now where he's dealing with him, so he can deal with him on a one-on-one basis. Because when he's in his when he's in his carnal mind, he's doing everything that he know to run from his problems, run from his assignment, and run from his calling. So a lot of times God got to put us on our back to purge us. You understand what I'm saying? So he can show us, so that he can show us our lives and ourselves, and so that we can get still, so that when he speak to us, that we can understand it's his voice that we're listening to.
Yeah.
So that he can help bring us out of this situation according to our will. See, because we are people that's led by self-will, Christ don't force us to do nothing. He don't force our hands. We make choices to put ourselves through these situations. We allow ourselves to go through trials and tribulations and all of these things instead of seeking ye first the kingdom of God. We do these things. And God allow us to go through things and hope that we'll learn. But people are more hard-headed than anything in these days and time. They keep doing what they want to do, how they want to do it, when they want to do it. So a lot of times God got to put people in situations, put their back against the wall so that you can cry out to Jesus. So you can cry out and call on his name so that then you'll have no other reason but to listen to what he's trying to tell you and what he's trying to do in your life. So that young man is going to be all right. He's in God's hands. He's in God's hands. God get the glory out of everything. Everything.
Yes.
Whether we understand the transition and the process of why we go through situations, look, Christ done did everything. God done did everything before we even came into the earth. He knows everything. Ain't nothing coming up on him unaware. So he's right there in the midst. Some people are just stubborn and hard-headed that want to do what they want to do when they want to do it. So then those ones with them greater callings, he'll put them back against the wall so that he can reach out to them, so that he can bring them out. Ones that want to be brought out, those that don't want to be brought out, then, hey, he take his hands off them.
That's
either
right.
way, he
That's
still
right.
get the glory. So therefore, through the process, us of the living that know him and know the situation is to learn from it. So that we can apply whatever we can apply from that situation to our situation to help make it to help make our life better, or use his test and turn it into the testimony to help somebody else.
Right.
It's ministry.
Yep.
So you gotta understand. You gotta understand how the power of God works, how the Holy Spirit works. These things that come amongst people, a lot of people bring these things on themselves, and Christ know what you're going. He know what you do before you even do it. He know these things. So it's us. He put us in positions and predicaments for us to call out to him. Because in order for you to change, you got to be sick and tired of being sick and tired of going through your mess in order for change.
The Bible tells us.
See, in order for you to change, you got to be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. If your mind don't get renewed, you don't understand what you're going through and it's killing you, then you're going to keep doing it. But until you get sick and tired of going through, then change going to come. Then you start doing what you're supposed to do from the first beginning. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. Then all these things will be added upon you.
Yes,
see, that's what the problem is.
4 minutes.
I'm going to let it go. For anybody else, I won't have some ending comments, but I just had to say that when the Spirit of the Lord is moving, you got to be obedient to the Spirit of the Lord. You can't cut the Spirit of the Lord off.
Different.
Go on in church, and they cut the Spirit off.
That's why. Like I said,
I'm sorry.
No, don't worry about it. We good. Like I said, we got 4 minutes. You know, and I enjoyed every minute of it. You know, it's always nice to have good people with you when you're talking about God. You know, like we said, we were all those ones born saved. You know, we all done had it, did our dirt. You know, and with some of us came from a rusty or dirty old diamond. Now we're a diamond, a rock. Now we're a diamond. You got swans, ugly ducklings. Now they swans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all got testimonies. You know, like we said here at the barbershop, you know, it's all about being 100 and keeping it real.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I like, you know, that's why I like doing it. You know, sometimes I just step back and let the, you know, let it go. Just let it go. And like
mm-hmm.
I said before we got started, I knew God was going to show up.
Amen.
I knew he was.
Yes,
you know, but
did.
that's the thing, when we can get amongst each other and we can help somebody. Because like we said, we learn from each other's testimony.
Amen.
You know, like I said, Trina was going through earlier. She didn't want to do nothing. But I told her, no, come on. Don't worry about what you're going through. Just come on and enjoy this, up here, enjoy hanging out with us today.
Hey, Katrina.
And look what happened.
Hello.
You know, that's what we do here. You know, it's a reason why all of us were put together today.
Amen.
Right.
You know,
man.
You know, we all brothers and sisters in Christ. We learn from each other. We grow with each other. And it's about, you know, being a family. You know, just like you said, the barbershop is partnering up with my brother's keeper. That's my men's ministry, and we're going to put that out there just as well as the barbershop.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I encourage, you know, people who come up here, invite somebody. Oh, I meant to tell you, Ron, your boy Wesley, he listened in. He said he'll be back.
Oh, trust me, I know. He on the other end collaborating back and forth with me. Trust me, I know he up here.
Oh, because he sent me the message on Facebook telling me this is his first time and he'll be back. See, I mean, that's what we want. That's what we want.
Amen.
You know, that's why... My motto for the my men's brothers, keep reach one, teach one.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're going to do with my brother's keepers. Reach one, teach one. Same way with a barbershop. Reach one, teach one. You know, we let our hair down and we enjoy ourselves. You know, it's love. Like I said, you know, you ain't got to talk to us no more. You ain't got to come on the show no more. But
that's right.
About us at the barbershop, we gonna all, you can't stop us from loving. You can't stop us from praying for you.
Amen.
That's something that you can't stop us from doing here.
Can't stop
Amen.
Us from loving you.
Yeah, and that's what we're going to keep doing. And, you know, I had a feeling that today was going to be a good day up there. You know, because we went freestyle today. Usually I have a topic. We went, God just said, you know, freestyle today. Round table, freestyle. You know, enjoy yourself. The other days, y'all doing it, you serious. You doing what I asked you to do. But today, just enjoy yourself. Freestyle. And look what happened. Still, he showed himself.
Yes.
The laughter, we laugh, we have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, from the bottom of my heart, I love all of you. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart for the love and support being here with me on the barbershop. You know, this is something God gave to me, and I'm going to keep pushing it. I'm going to push it right along with my brother's people's ministry. And again, I love all of y'all. I thank you very much. And, you know, hopefully we're going to do some more roundtables. So, you know, with that being said, we got like 20 seconds. And, again, I love you guys. This is the Hottest Block Talk Radio Show. It's geared to men, and we're going to gear to women. I just wish y'all the best. Y'all have a blessed week. Talk to you on the other side. Peace.